Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, John Russell, Bruce Alpert, and Marcia James. Jill Robbins will tell us what's trending today, and Alice Bryant and Phil Dierking will bring us this week's education report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
The search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has officially ended, nearly 3 years after the plane mysteriously disappeared. Transport ministers from Malaysia, Australia, and China announced Tuesday the search had officially been suspended. The Boeing 777 plane disappeared March 8, 2014, while carrying 239 people from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, to Beijing, China. The plane lost voice contact with officials on the ground less than an hour after takeoff and did not send any emergency messages. More than half the plane's passengers were Chinese. In a statement, the ministers said that even with the best technology and search techniques available, the aircraft had not been found. The underwater search had been focused on a 120,000 square kilometer area in the southern Indian Ocean. Investigators became hopeful in July 2015 when a piece of the plane's wing was found in the Indian Ocean east of Madagascar. The Associated Press reported that since then, more than 20 objects, either confirmed or believed to be from the plane, have washed up on beaches throughout the Indian Ocean. The decision to suspend the underwater search has not been taken lightly nor without sadness, the statement said. The ministers thanked all nations that provided equipment, expertise, and assistance. More than $150 million was spent on search efforts by Malaysia, Australia, and China. The ministers said they remain hopeful that new information may be found in the future to help locate the missing wreckage. As the search for MH370 ended, new technology has been launched to help prevent planes from ever going missing. On Saturday, a group of satellites were successfully deployed with technology that experts say will be able to track airplanes over the entire Earth. A Falcon 9 rocket from American aerospace company SpaceX carried 10 satellites into orbit for telecommunications company Iridium. The launch from California marked a successful return to rocket launches for SpaceX after an explosion on its launch pad last September. Iridium's partner Aireon will use the satellites to track aircraft instead of current methods using ground radar and other monitoring tools. This successful first launch brings us one step closer to changing the way the world flies by enabling the ability to track aircraft anywhere on the planet, Aireon CEO Don Tama said. Currently, about 70% of the world's airspace lacks real-time surveillance because of rough terrain, deserts, or oceans. The new satellite technology is expected to also make airplanes trackable in those so-called black zones. Ariane has said its global satellite-based system will be deployed by 2018 to track and monitor aircraft around the world in real time. I'm Brian Lynn.
Turkish security forces say they have arrested the main suspect in the attack on a nightclub in Istanbul on December 31st. The attack killed 39 people and injured several others. The Hurriyet Daily News said Abdulkadir Masharipov was detained Monday in Istanbul's Esenyurt area. He is said to be an Uzbek national. Turkish television and other news agencies said police seized the suspect in a raid on a house. Five others in the house also were detained. They included one person from Iraq and women from Egypt, Senegal, and Somalia. Turkey's deputy prime minister congratulated police in a Twitter post Tuesday. He also said that Turkey's war with terror and the powers behind it will continue to the end. The hunt for Masharipov had been going on for days once police identified him as the main suspect. Istanbul's governor said the arrest was part of a well-organized operation. The search for the suspect involved more than 2,000 police officers. More than 40 other foreign nationals were detained as police searched for suspects. The Islamic State terror group claimed responsibility for the attack. The New Year's Eve attack was the third in Turkey in the past 2 years, linked to militants from Central Asia who admitted links to the Islamic State group. Islamic State jihadists from Central Asia were said to have carried out 2 earlier attacks, including one on Istanbul's Ataturk airport in June. That attack killed 44 people and wounded more than 230 others. The Turkish government said the 3 suicide bombers responsible for that attack were from Russia, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. Intelligence agencies have described Turkey as a crossing point for hundreds of Central Asian extremists. They have been moving into Syria and Iraq to join the Islamic State group in its aim to establish a caliphate in Syria and parts of northern Iraq. I'm John Russell.
Chinese President Xi Jinping urged world leaders to reject protectionism at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. His speech in support of free trade came during the first day of the yearly meeting of political, business leaders, activists, and artists. The Chinese leader also spoke days before the inauguration of Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States. Trump, a Republican, won the presidency after campaigning against free trade agreements that, he said, have cost Americans jobs. Trump has threatened to increase tariffs on Chinese goods unless China changes policies that he called unfair. Speaking in Davos, the Chinese leader warned against trade disputes. Xi's visit to the annual World Economic Forum is the first by a Chinese president. It takes place as Xi tries to position his country as a world leader as other countries increasingly look inward. Last year, China created the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Establishing the bank was part of China's effort to increase its influence in world finance. An advisor to the president-elect is attending the World Economic Forum in Davos. Anthony Scaramucci is giving up his U.S. financial business to work with the new Trump administration. He told the Associated Press that Trump supports foreign trade, but free, fair trade. Others have said that Trump may be more interested in making trade deals with individual countries or bilateral deals. President Xi's speech in support of free trade came as his cabinet in Beijing Tuesday reduced limits on foreign investment in Chinese banks and its financial industry. In his speech, Xi said the world's economy needs better governance to find ways to reduce the growing divide between rich and poor. Xi called for a new growth model that deals directly with climate change, aging populations, and increased automation. Automation can reduce costs and speed production of products, but it also reduces factory jobs. Senior Chinese government figures joined Xi in traveling to Davos. In past years, the Chinese government sent lower-level officials. Klaus Schwab is the founder of the World Economic Forum and its chairman. Schwab helped start the forum in 1971. It has become one of the world's largest gatherings of government and business leaders to discuss major international issues. I'm Bruce Alpert.
President-elect Donald Trump has said that he hopes relations with Russia will improve after he takes office. This has caused a debate in the United States, especially after U.S. intelligence services accused Russia of interfering in the presidential election. However, the idea of improved ties between Russia and the U.S. worries some Chinese officials. They believe that increased cooperation between the two powers will harm their country's interest and weaken its relationship with Russia. Comments by influential Chinese research groups and stories in state media show the level of concern. Chinese media have been noting that China has strong ties with Russia. At the same time, reports in state-controlled media say there is little chance the U.S. and Russia will develop close relations. The Chinese reports say that the U.S. and Russia may be able to reach agreement on some issues. They might cooperate on ending the civil war in Syria or working together to fight the Islamic State terrorist group, for example. But the reports say deciding how to divide power after the conflict ends will not be easy. Chinese officials reportedly worry that a stronger relationship between the U.S. and Russia would harm China's influence in the Asia-Pacific area and the world. Because of its action in Ukraine, Russia has faced international sanctions, limiting its trade with other countries. Stephen Blank is an expert on Russia at the American Foreign Policy Council. He says many experts in China believe that closer relations between the U.S. and Russia will weaken relations between China and Russia. He says there is a lot of anxiety in Beijing that Russians who have all along taken an anti-U.S. stance may start to think differently. He notes that, until now, the China-Russia relationship has been based in a large measure on their rejection of U.S. interest in the global order. This would be affected if there is improvement in the U.S.-Russia relationship. Chinese opinion writers have, in the past, written about the importance of China and Russia to the international community. At the same time, they have openly voiced concerns about some of Russia's actions. I'm Marcia James.
Here's what's trending today. John Lewis is a congressman from the American state of Georgia. He represents the city of Atlanta and its suburbs. Over the weekend, Lewis had this to say about incoming President-elect Donald Trump.
I don't see this President-elect as a legitimate president.
When Chuck Todd, host of the Meet the Press news program, asked why, Lewis continued.
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. I don't plan to attend inauguration.
The president-elect answered back in his tweets. He wrote that Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart, not to mention crime-infested, rather than falsely complaining about the election results. All talk, 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 no action or results. Sad. Many Twitter users sent their own messages in support of Representative Lewis. Rather than him being all talk and no action, they reminded Trump of the many actions that Representative Lewis took as a civil rights protester and still takes as a representative. Representative Lewis took part in sit-ins to protest segregation in the southern United States in the early 1960s. He was beaten by mobs and arrested for being in the protests. Lewis has been arrested at least 45 times, the latest arrest in 2013 during an immigration protest outside the U.S. Capitol. In June 2016, Lewis led a sit-in on the floor of the House of Representatives to protest lack of action on gun control. Other representatives in Congress are following the steps that Representative Lewis says he will take. Representative Mark Takano said he will also boycott the inauguration. Some commentators are criticizing the timing of Trump's attack on Representative Lewis. The attack came on the weekend when Americans celebrated the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. as a national holiday. Trump had planned to visit the new Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture on Monday, which was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Instead, he met privately in New York with the son of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King III told the press he had talked with Trump about voting rights. King added that Trump said that he is going to represent Americans. He's said that over and over again. We will continue to evaluate that. And that's what's trending today. I'm Jill Robbins.
Along with subjects like reading and mathematics, school children at the Robert W. Coleman Elementary School are learning how to spend time in quiet thought. The students are learning yoga exercises and meditation skills. The aim is to provide them with better tools to deal with the daily struggles they face. The school, called Coleman for short, is in the American city of Baltimore, Maryland. Principal Carlillian Thompson brought the program to Coleman in 2010. She sends some of her most troublesome students to the Mindful Moment Room instead of requiring them to stay after school in detention.
Nearly one-fourth of Baltimore's population lives below the poverty line. That information comes from the United States Census Bureau. Many children at Coleman face conditions common to poverty. Principal Thompson told broadcaster CNN that a few of her students are homeless, while others live in homes with no electricity. Some have little or no food to eat. Others are related to victims of gun violence. The Mindful Moment Room is a place where Coleman students do deep breathing exercises and clear their minds. They come to learn how they can better react to situations and how to calm themselves. They can also speak with Mindful Moment specialists about what caused their teachers to send them there. Atman Smith is one of the founders of the Holistic Life Foundation, or HLF, the organization that leads the program. He told VOA News a few years ago that meditation and yoga can help young people deal with life's difficulties.
It's like a serious cycle in most inner cities where, you know, people don't know how to resolve conflicts peacefully. That's why so much violence and, you know, abuse. And in us teaching these kids meditation and giving them these tools to self-regulate, that it's going to change, I guess, the social construct and the dynamic of, you know, the way the inner city works and is thought of, I guess.
HLF serves 4,500 students each week and works with a total of 14 Baltimore schools. Coleman is not the only American school adding meditation and yoga to its academic curriculum. Schools in other cities are also using these tools. Last year, Visitation Valley Middle School began offering meditation, NBC News reported. The school is in one of the poorest areas in the city of San Francisco. Some children there witnessed stressful events in their neighborhoods. A large number of the students see people carrying guns on a daily basis, athletic director Barry Driscoll told NBC News. A few years ago, there were 3 to 5 fights at the school every week.
But then, the San Francisco School District partnered with a local organization called the Center for Wellness and Achievement in Education. The center brought a meditation program called Quiet Time to Visitation Valley and three other schools. Each day, during quiet time, the whole school has 2 15-minute periods of transcendental meditation, or TM. TM is a process for slowing down unwanted thoughts and reaching a state of calm awareness. At first, O'Driscoll thought meditation was foolish, but as he told NBC, over 4 years of having quiet time, suspensions at Visitation Valley have fallen by 79%. Over that period, attendance has risen to 98%. A nearby school that uses the program has also seen a big drop in suspensions, 75%, NBC noted. In addition, students are performing better academically. Principal Thompson also believes that meditation is responsible for the drop in suspensions at her school. Over the past year, there were no suspensions at Coleman, compared to 4 suspensions during the 2013 to 2014 school year, CNN reported. And students are almost never sent to her office for bad behavior anymore, Thompson noted.
For the past half century, meditation and other stress reduction activities have been studied as possible treatments for anxiety and depression. A 2014 study links mindfulness meditation to reduced pain, depression, and anxiety. That study was published in one of the American Medical Association's many publications called JAMA Internal Medicine. As for students, there is some scientific evidence that yoga and meditation can help people, but more is needed. But a 2012 study on yoga found that it improved middle school students' ability to deal with anger and stress. The Journal of Behavioral Science reported the findings. However, education expert Patricia Jennings told the New York Times that these practices don't address poverty, and it may not work for everybody. Jennings is a professor in the School of Education at the University of Virginia.
Some parents are not happy about schools offering yoga programs. They think yoga has a religious meaning because of its roots in Hinduism and Buddhism. For example, U.S. News and World Report magazine reported on a Georgia school that received protests from parents. The school has made changes. It still offers breathing and stretching exercises, but has removed the Hindi term namaste, for example. The school principal also wrote an apology to parents. In a special report for CNN, yoga trainer Dana Santis explained that some parents don't realize American-style yoga is non-religious. She said it is an exercise focused on a person's mental and physical health, not spirituality. As Principal Thompson told VOA, for a group of fifth-grade boys at Coleman, meditation has made a huge difference.
But I could see over time that they learned how to, instead of using their fists to resolve different situations, that they started with the breathing techniques. They began to talk about their problems instead of reacting like they used to.
Former students from programs offered by the Holistic Life Foundation are now 50% of the organization's workers, Newsweek reported. I'm Phil Dierking.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.